Have you ever had a moment in the airplane where you thought you were doing something right, and then your instructor told you the standard had changed out from under you? I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern, here on Radio Hangar, and today we're talking about slow flight. Specifically, the shift in what the airman certification standards actually ask you to demonstrate, and why so many students, and honestly some instructors, are still training to the old standard. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's walk through this together, because this one trips people up more than you'd expect. For years, the practical test asked you to demonstrate flight at minimum controllable airspeed. That meant you slowed the airplane down until the stall horn was screaming at you the entire time. You flew around with that horn blaring, made turns, held altitude, and the examiner watched you manage the airplane right at the edge. The whole point was to prove you could control the airplane at its slowest possible speed without actually stalling. And look, that was a useful exercise. It taught you what the airplane felt like when it was running out of ideas. Mushy controls, high angle of attack, the nose pitched way up, full power just to maintain altitude. You learned a lot from that. But here's the thing. The FAA looked at accident data and asked a real question. When do pilots actually get into trouble with slow flight? Is it when they're deliberately holding minimum controllable airspeed in straight and level flight? No, it's in the traffic pattern. It's on base to final. It's when they're distracted, slow, and they don't even realize they've wandered into a dangerous corner of the flight envelope. So the airman certification standards change the task, and this is the part that matters for your check ride. The current ACS for maneuvering during slow flight says you need to fly at a speed where any further increase in angle of attack, any increase in load factor, or any reduction in power would result in an immediate indication of a stall. That stall warning, whatever it is in your airplane, whether it's a horn, a light, or an aerodynamic buffet, should activate if you pull back even slightly or add even a little bank. Read that again in your head. You're flying just above the point where the stall warning activates, not with the horn blaring continuously, not buried in the buffet. You're flying in that narrow band where you are 1 degree of angle of attack away from the warning, but the warning is not yet going off. That is a completely different skill than what the old standard asked for. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The old way was actually easier in some respects. You slowed down until the horn came on, and then you just held it there. It was uncomfortable and it was loud, but the target was simple. Keep the horn on, don't stall, maintain altitude. Done. The new standard is harder because you're managing a much narrower window. You need to know your airplane well enough to hold a speed that's just a knot or two above where the stall warning triggers. If you're too fast, you're not demonstrating the maneuver. If you're too slow, the warning is going off, and now you need to reduce the angle of attack to get back to the right speed. You're walking a tightrope. So how do you actually fly this? Let me give you some practical steps. First, you need to know what speed triggers the stall warning in your specific airplane at the configuration the examiner asks for. If you're flying a Cessna 172 and the examiner wants slow flight in the landing configuration, you need to know that in that airplane, at that weight, the stall warning horn typically activates around 48 or 49 knots indicated. Your target speed is going to be somewhere around 52 to 55 knots. That's your neighborhood. Now, every airplane is different, and weight matters. If you're flying a heavier airplane or a lighter one, those numbers shift. You need to have spent time in your specific airplane at realistic training weights, figuring out exactly where that horn comes alive. Don't guess. Go fly and find out. Second, common mistake. Students set up for slow flight and they fixate on the airspeed indicator. They're staring at the gauge trying to hold a number, but here's the problem. At those speeds, most airspeed indicators are not terribly accurate, and a 1 or 2 knot fluctuation is totally normal. If you're chasing the needle, you're going to be porpoising, adding power, pulling power, and the airplane will look like it's being flown by someone who's never been in a cockpit. Instead, set a pitch attitude and a power setting. Trim the airplane, then make small corrections. The examiner is looking for a stabilized condition, not perfection on the airspeed indicator. Plus or minus 5 knots is in the ACS tolerances for a reason. They know the airplane moves around. What they want to see is that you recognize when you're drifting and you make a smooth correction. Third, and this is where a lot of check rides go sideways. turns during slow flight, the examiner is going to ask you to make turns, usually shallow bank, 10 to 15 degrees, and here's what happens. You roll into the turn, the load factor increases, and suddenly the stall warning goes off. If you weren't ready for that, your instinct is to push the nose down, which causes you to lose altitude, which causes you to pull back, which makes the horn louder, and now you're chasing the airplane. Here's the fix. Before you roll into the turn, add a touch of power, just 100 RPM or so, that compensates for the increased load factor and the slightly higher stall speed in the turn. As you roll wings level, take that power back out. It's a tiny adjustment, but it makes the difference between a smooth demonstration and a mess. The examiner is looking for your awareness of what the airplane is doing. If the stall warning activates during the turn, that is not an automatic failure. What matters is what you do next. Reduce the angle of attack slightly, maybe level the wings a bit, regain that buffer, and continue. A momentary chirp of the stall horn that you immediately correct is fine. What's not fine is ignoring it or letting the airplane depart controlled flight. Here's mistake number 4, and it's the sneaky one. Students practice slow flight in calm air at altitude, and then they get on the check ride and the air is bumpy. Turbulence changes everything in slow flight. A gust can push you past that angle of attack threshold instantly. If you trained only in smooth conditions, the first time you hit a bump at 52 knots with the flaps out, you're going to get a surprise. Train in realistic conditions. I'm not saying go fly slow flight in moderate turbulence. That's not safe or productive. But if there's a little chop, that's actually a great training environment because it teaches you to stay ahead of the airplane when it's not cooperating. Let me talk about one more thing that comes up on check rides, and it's the transition. The examiner will ask you to slow from cruise to slow flight, and then to recover from slow flight back to cruise. Both transitions matter. On the way in, most students do fine. Power back, pitch up gradually, configure, slow down. The sequence makes sense. But on the recovery, I see students make a mistake that looks small but tells the examiner a lot about your understanding. They add full power and immediately start retracting flaps. Pause for a second. When you add full power at a low airspeed with a high angle of attack, what happens to the left turning tendencies in a single engine airplane? They all get worse. P factor is at its strongest because you're at a high angle of attack. Torque is increased because you just went to full power. If you're not ready with right rudder, the airplane yaws left, you lose coordination, and in a worst case, you could set up an accelerated stall with a wing drop. The recovery should be deliberate. Full power, right rudder, establish a positive rate of climb, let the airspeed build, and then start cleaning up the flaps incrementally. The ACS says you should recover to the specified airspeed and altitude. It doesn't say you should do it instantly. A smooth, controlled recovery tells the examiner you understand the airplane. A rushed, sloppy recovery tells them you're just following a checklist by rote. Let me give you a scenario, because this is where slow flight knowledge actually saves lives outside of the check ride. You're in the traffic pattern. You're number 2 to land. The airplane ahead of you is slow, and tower asks you to extend your downwind. You're already configured, you're already slowed down. Now you're flying a longer pattern than you planned. You're further from the runway. And almost without realizing it, you start slowing down more because you're trying to create spacing. You're at 60 knots, then 55. The airplane feels different. The controls are mushy. You glance at the airspeed and realize you've wandered into the slow flight regime in the traffic pattern, at 800 feet above the ground, with a base turn coming up. This is the scenario the FAA was thinking about when they redesigned the slow flight standard. Not the deliberate, at altitude. Controlled demonstration. The unintentional one. The one that kills people every year on base to final. If your slow flight training was good, your body recognizes the feeling before your eyes check the gauge. You feel the controls go soft. You hear the wind noise change. You notice you're holding more back pressure than normal. And you add power before you need the stall warning to tell you something is wrong. That's the real point of this maneuver. The check ride is just the test. The training is for the day the airplane tries to surprise you. So before your check ride, go fly slow flight with your instructor with one goal. Find that narrow band just above stall warning activation and learn to live there. Make turns. Add and remove flaps. Practice the recovery until it's smooth and deliberate. And most importantly, pay attention to how the airplane feels, not just what the gauges say. This one's worth getting right, not because the examiner will fail you otherwise, although they might, but because the pattern is no place to learn what slow feels like. Most of what I talked about today comes straight from the current airman certification standards and the airplane flying handbook, both available from the FAA. If you haven't read the slow flight task description in the ACS recently, go pull it up tonight. You can find more episodes and resources at radiohangar.com. Fly it smooth out there. I'll catch you next time.